Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined on the line by our rugby correspondent, Alec McDonald. You're very welcome to Highland Radio Sunday Sport, Alec. And, well, we're going to go to that All-Ireland League 2 SEA Games yesterday. Well, the game you were covering was City Derry against Middleton. It was a game at halftime that it didn't look like it was going to go the way for City Derry, but somehow they crawled their way back into this game, came away with a victory and a good start to the new year for City Derry. A victory, 10 points to 6 against Middleton.
Yeah, it was a must win for both games because you know, Middleton were bottom of the table and Derry were only 2 points ahead of them along with Bangor, but as it turned out, both Derry and Bangor won. So that's put Middleton into a spot now, but if you look at the league table, I think there's about five or six teams and there's only 2 points separating them. So there's going to be a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in 2020, but important from Derry to get that score. 3-3 at half-time, it was both very nervy from both sides, although to be fair, you would say Middleton probably had more possession and territory in the first half. Their backs looked useful, but the Derry defence was very, very good. They did take the lead 5 minutes into the second half when Stuart Lee, their captain out half, had a massive penalty. It must have been nearly on the halfway line. Biggest kick I've seen in Bud Judges Road for a long time, 6-3. That remained 6-3 until, believe it or not, 49 minutes of the second half. 3 minutes before that, Derry out half, Alec McDonald had a chance to put over a penalty, but he hit the post, and it led to chaos because instead of touching down, their second row tried to run the ball out, and it left Derry in a very good attacking position. But eventually, after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing, right on the line, it was Simon Logue, the wee scrum half, who probably one of the smallest guys on the pitch. He burrowed over. Referee gave a score. The conversion went over 10 points to 6. The whistle went. And it was a very relieved Derry team, plus supporters. And you can understand, I mean, Middleton were absolutely deflated because, you know, they thought they'd hung on to get those 4 points. But that was not to be. At least they got a losing bonus point. But I'm sure it was a long trip back to Middleton last night. Disappointment.
I'm sure it was, Alec. And, well, a disappointment for Omi yesterday. They were defeated by Sunday as well. It was, of course, 19-7 was the final score there. Look, not an easy place to go to. Sunday Wells looking for points.
Not really, because I was up at the game. The last game I did was the one before Christmas, whenever Sunday's Well came up to Mellon Park in Omagh, and it was a 12-all draw. And I said to somebody afterwards, I can't believe it that at Sunday's Well have only won 3 or 4 games, because what I saw against Omagh, they certainly made Omagh pay, and they looked a very, very good team. And Omagh knew going down there to play them that it would be difficult. And as it turned out, I would say in the second part of this season that Sunday's Wells will certainly give a lot of teams a lot of trouble. So anybody thinking it's a banker getting points from Sunday's Well are under a false illusion.
Table toppers Enniscorthy, they went to Bangor yesterday, and well, Bangor recorded a 1 point victory, so a big victory for Bangor. They were sitting in second from bottom yesterday, Alec.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was amazing when I heard it. And I was talking to a friend of mine from Bangor last night, and he said that defensively Bangor were absolutely superb. And I mean, the thing is that from Enniscorthy's point of view, 4 games ago they looked as if they were unbeatable. They're all runaway winners, but that result yesterday means that Skerries are now level with them. And the Skerries are really up the ante in the second part of that the season up to now. And it's going to be very interesting. From Derry's point of view, unfortunately, the backlash could be that they go to Enniscorthy in 2 weeks' time, and Enniscorthy will obviously be looking to get plenty of points, and that's something that Derry don't want. I mean, okay, if they lose by 15 points or so, that's fine, but you don't want a big hide, and you don't want a 40-pointer, because the points differential could be very, very important come the end of the season because of the teams being so bunched together. But, you know, it'll be interesting just to see how they react. From Derry's point of view, it's going to be a difficult game. There's no doubt about it. And but, I mean, if they go down and give it their all, that's all they can do.
That's all they can do, definitely. In the other leagues, there was limited action, but the Towns Cup was on yesterday as well. Victory for Omagh Seconds against Strabane. Limavady and Rattlestown was off, and well, Coleraine, they welcomed Rainey in the Towns Cup yesterday.
Yeah, the Limavady-Rattlestown game, I'm sure they'll be disappointed, Limavady, because they're making a really big concerted effort. I mean, as you know, they're unbeaten this year in Championship 2 and the Conference, And obviously with the amount of rain at the Roe Valley yesterday, that just they didn't want a chance, maybe ruining their pitches. And why play on a pitch that doesn't give you the benefits of running rugby? Corrine, they hosted a rainy seconds, but were beaten 31-16. And Oman seconds, they just proved too strong for Strabane by 34 points to 3. Pardon me. But all the other games are played, and the only other game was that Monaghan and Rugby Regional West had a 29-7 result over Ballyshannon. Also at Judges Road, I'm not sure whether it was a league match or a friendly, but City Derry were playing Strabane, and I think they won quite well in that game.
Turn our attention then, Alec, to the European Cup. Hennigan Cup, disappointment for Ulster. They were beaten well by Claremont. Their 29-13 was the final score. They missed their chance and a number of chances during that particular game. That if they took them, Alec, they could have made it a little bit closer. But Claremont were in emphatic form.
Well, Claremont in the second half, but I mean, in the first 30 minutes, Ulster had 80% possession, you know, which is absolutely fantastic going to a place like that there. There's a few things that really annoyed me about yesterday was in the sense that I could not understand Ian Henderson's captaincy. Now, I'm a big fan of Henderson, but that doesn't mean that you have to support everything you do. Ulster had three kickable penalties at 10-3, which Cooney would have slotted over unless something dramatically was wrong. Three times they went for a line-out, and I couldn't understand this, whether they were trying to get another try. At one stage, if they've taken those penalties and hadn't given the one away at half-time, pardon me, Ulster would have led 19-3 at half-time. The other thing I should say is Nigel Owens was supposed to referee that game there, and Matt Carley was brought in, who's not just as experienced. There was an incident when Ulster were attacking. I think it was McCluskey kicked ahead, and they won turnover ball. Cooney got the ball in his hands, and he was about to throw the ball out to Stocktail, who didn't have a center near him. And their scrum half dived through, slapped the ball down. Now, all he gave was a yellow card. And anybody I've talked to, that should have been a penalty try. Had that been given, 7 more points. But that's the way it goes. I don't think that the referee was strong enough to take that decision, because if you see it, it's quite blatant that there was nobody else there, and that's what a penalty try is about. Having said that, the first two scrums in the second half, Ulster relaxed a bit, and they did come back. But at one stage at 19-13, they were well in the game again, as you said, and had they taken a chance, who knows? But, I mean, Claremont of Erin are a superb side, and it's all set up now for next week at the Kingspan. Looking forward to getting up to that game. Because, I mean, Bath are coming, and I don't know what position Bath will be in. But, however, if Ulster can come away with a bonus point victory, which one would expect, they will certainly qualify, but unfortunately maybe not at top of the league. Having said that, if they get 5 points against Bath, who knows, Claremont of Erin are going to Harlequins. Harlequins are a team that you don't know what they're going to do. The French don't travel too well, so upsets can happen, as we saw at Bangor yesterday.
They can indeed, and well, no upsets against Connacht, against Toulouse, a victory for Toulouse. 21-7 was the score. It's ended the opportunity for Connacht to get into the quarterfinals. Toulouse march on, but Toulouse were the better team.
Well, I mean, Toulouse are being touted as one of the favourites, as you know, maybe way back at whenever the champions of the Heineken Cup, as it was called, was started. I mean, they were very much the big guys in that one. But Connacht, pardon me, yesterday, I watched a bit of it last night. Connacht at no stage we know were overran. It's 21-7 sounds maybe, but you know, there was only one try really changed the whole format of the thing. But the Connacht guys can hold their heads up. I mean, that's a big French team they're playing against, and you know, a lot of those Connacht guys are still very, very inexperienced. And you know, it's been a good competition. For them. They still have another game left, and the fact that they're, along with the other three Irish provinces, are playing in top level competition is great, because you know, they did struggle a way back a few years ago, but I mean, they've come forward so well.